This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, we share stories that are funny, strange, heartbreaking, and above all, true.
I myself have been married for 56 years. Unfortunately, to four different women.
It turns out the people I was looking for all my life is what you people would call nerds.
Follow and listen to The Moth on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I think I gotta take a dump.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. Dive into the mind of former NFL quarterback Clint Sterner.
I like a good time. I like to have a party.
I know you do.
It's Dirty's Daily.
Yeah, we're going to get to that dump, Tyler. We're going to get to that dump. I know everybody out there
listening. Oh, I can't wait.
Look here, I know all y'all like to turn. My wife's one of them now. She don't like to talk about that kind of stuff now. But look, we all do it. We all do it. And if you don't act right, you're going to end up being one on Tyler's list that you just missed.
Are you shitting me?
No, I'm dead serious. Now, you damn sure know all about it. Now, we all take a dump. And I was in a bad predicament. I want y'all to think while we're talking Tank Dell here, boys. I want y'all to think, like, what's the worst situation you could be in when that old urge hits you?
When you're clenching like hell.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm talking.
I've had it.
I mean, what's the worst? Not just the clenching, though. Like, where are you at when you just realize you're in a bad situation? Think about that. 713-572-4610. What's the worst doo-doo predicament you've ever been in? I got a good one. It happened to me today, this morning, and I'll let y'all in on that. I know y'all are just dying to hear about that. All of y'all do it. Quit acting like you're too damn good to talk about a little dump taking here. But before we get there, I do want to talk about Tank Dell. Obviously, fan favorite here in Houston, whether you're a Cougar fan, U of H, or you're a Texans fan, or you just like human beings that are fun to cover, fun to watch, and good dudes, you're a fan of Tank Dell.
No Cougs!
Right? Last year, regular season contest versus the Kansas City Chiefs, Tank Dell somehow makes the catch. Still, the craziest thing is dude held under the football under these circumstances, but catches a deep ball against the Kansas City Chiefs that should have swung the momentum in a major way, but unfortunately, there was a horrific injury. Tank Dell dislocated his knee, torn his ACL, tore his MCL, LCL, and meniscus damage to effectively end his second year campaign. And at that point in time, put his status of 2025 in jeopardy. Now, I'll be honest with you. I'm one of those that thought, hey, man, sometime in 2025, Tank Dell will be back. And I mean be back full go, be ready to rock and roll. I don't just mean be able to play football again. But apparently, you start listening around to some of the guys that have experienced this before, and the concerns continue to grow. I know they did for me. Cecil Shorts, former Houston Texan, former Jacksonville Jaguar, currently MC, DJ, on field, if you will. My favorite thing of Texans game day on sometimes.
Game day host.
Sometimes including football, Tyler. My favorite thing is the hamburger race that they do in the end zone.
That is fun.
I didn't know Cecil Shorts had that level of energy in him from an entertainment standpoint. But
I've seen guys
pee
themselves.
Also, sneaky, yeah. maybe the best gear. Houston gear week in and week out.
Yeah.
If you catch him,
he's smooth with it. He's got a
Big Sis is clean.
I'm sure that the team helps him out, but he finds some stuff out there that I hadn't seen.
I think he's got the knack of putting it together, and then all of a sudden he's got the endless supply of the Texans Pro Shop down there where he can pick it and put it together. So it's a hell of a combo, and Cecil does it well. But he joined Fox 26, Will Kunkel. He does. We talk about it multiple times on this show. He has a show that's called Kicking It with Kunkel. And
still trying to get on that.
Yeah, well, you should. Cecil was on there, and they covered several topics, but they did talk about the Tank Dell injury, and I'll just let you hear Cecil Shorts explain what he thinks is going to happen moving forward.
Tank, I don't think Tank will be back next year after that injury.
I've talked to some people that think.
I'll be honest with you right now. I had that same exact knee injury.
Mm. You dislocated your.
I dislocated my knee.
And then tore ACL, MCL,
LCL. I tore ACL, MCL, PCL, LCL, meniscus. I tore pretty much everything in my knee. And it ended my career. Now, I was older. I was in my later 20s. Mm-hmm. And Tank's a much better receiver than me. But just experiencing that injury, I didn't get fully clear till almost four and a half years later. And they told me straight up, now they were worried about my artery. So I had to be in the hospital for about 2.5-3 weeks. And they were like, hey, we want to make sure. Cause I was a centimeter and a half or 2.5 centimeters from losing my leg. Mm. If I was getting my leg amputated. Thanks. So when I heard he dislocated his knee and they were like, oh, it's an ACL. I'm like, no, it's much in my head. I'm like, it's much more than that. I didn't want to say anything. Cause I'm like, let's just see what it says. And then eventually it came out. But normally when you dislocate your kneecap, you pretty much are tearing every single thing.
The only thing that he listed there that wasn't on the list of Tank Dell's injury was the PCL. So I'm not familiar with the inner workings of the knee. I know anytime you get the patella tendon, which I think is what the PCL is. But anytime you get into the L's and talk about dislocation, you got some major problems. That just sheds a little bit of light, boys, on the Texans wide receiver Tank Dell specifically, which I think we all hurt for what he's gone through and the fact that he just can't stay healthy and can't stay on the field. But as a fan, you look at it and you go, okay, I think that puts a little different perspective on the wide receiver position here. I know for me, Ron, look, I knew the injury was bad. I knew that Tank Dell wasn't going to come back and from jump next season, be the number two wide receiver to Nico Collins and be, boy, right, just pick up right where he left off. But I'll be honest with you. I never, as we talk about how the Texans need to address the wide receiver room, I never counted Tank Dell out. After hearing that, at least for the 2025 season, I mean, Tank Dell becomes a luxury. Like, and again, not
the, you're talking about for this season, or are you talking about ever?
Well, maybe forever, given how Cecil mentioned it, but definitely the 2025 season. Like, if Tank gets back at any point in time and can help and get on the field and help this team, then that's just a luxury. I think what this changes for me is the desperation and the dire need that is the Texans wide receiver room. It's crazy to think after last year going into the season, you know, you got Tank Dell and Stephon Diggs and Nico Collins, obviously, with a second rounder in John Metchie coming. Hutch had a little experience. You got Robert Woods, $7 million insurance policy. Like, you got a lot of depth right there. And when they sign Diggs, all of a sudden, you feel like you're top heavy as well. Man, this sheds some real light. No Steph Diggs. Appears to be more than likely, you at least can't depend on Tank Dell coming back. Robert Woods is a free agent, right? Right now, your 2, 3, and 4 receiver are gone, and I don't know that your 5 and 6 receiver that you're relying on showed a lot of promise to make a huge jump to fill that void. The wide receiver room, I know we've talked about it a long time now, an extended period of time now, about a need. It may be a little more dire than I thought, Ron.
So I think you do probably walk into this year with the thought that maybe he misses this year.
Yes, I think you got to, right? You got to prepare at least.
Yeah, I mean, I think the one thing is, like, it'd be interesting to talk to Cecil and say, hey, because they said he didn't get cleared for 4 years. So I don't think it's that, right?
Well, clearly Cecil's was more like, because he mentioned the arteries. Yeah. Like, Tank Dell didn't spend 2 weeks in the damn hospital. Yeah. Like, he clearly didn't have the artery issues.
I think Tank's probably more closer to, you remember Nick Chubb?
Yeah.
And that bad one, he had the knee injury where he had his MCL and meniscus and ACL repair. Those were the three he had. Mm-hmm. So I think Tank close to that, a little worse with Tank. He did not have the dislocated kneecap. So that's the other thing that makes Tank's a little worse. He did come back in the middle of the 2024 season, so he didn't miss the complete season. But I think you do have to kind of go about things as if he's not going to be there. And Clint, I also wonder, you know, and that's why that's the point I want to talk to Cecil about is, like, did he ever feel like he lost a step? Like, even when he was good, even when he felt like, did he ever feel like Cecil? Did he ever feel like he was back to himself? Now, I know he didn't play. He never played again. Right. But I mean, just physically, did he ever feel like he was back to the way he was prior to the injury?
Yeah, doesn't sound
just,
like it.
And just getting to the point of with Tank, you know, should we expect, even when he does return, that maybe Tank's not quite the same player that he was? Don't know if that's the case. Mm. I do like Cecil, maybe the closest one to wonder if he ever, like, he's healed, but did you ever feel like you had the same speed? Did you ever feel like you had the same thing? Because that's the deal there. You don't know what Tank Dell's going to come back.
Yeah. Yeah, you definitely don't know. My overall point is that I don't know that the Texans, like, I thought maybe, hey, man, you can, because, you know, you hear D'Amico giving good reports about him being around the building and all that, which I'm not saying D'Amico's doing anything wrong, but, like, for me, that I lean in, I'm like, okay, well, maybe Tank's going to be all right next year. No, man, I think it just seems like, boy, if he is, that's a luxury, and they've got to move forward, and they've got to, as bad as they need, like, the got-to-have interior offensive line is still the main priority. But I don't know that the wide receiver position, and I'm talking a 2-3 guy, isn't damn near a guy to have, given how you want to play offensive football, or at least how I think you want to play offensive football, and given that Diggs and Tanker are don't seem to be 25 options, or right now they're not, and Mechie would be a 3 at best, I would think. So we'll see. But there's a little bit of insight into what Tank Dell could be going through via Cecil Shorts, who dealt with a very similar injury. Boys, there was. I gave you a couple minutes now. The predicament your boy was in today.
Got several texts that came in about predicaments that people have been in with, I guess, the same as you were in.
I would have never thought of this until it happened to me. So I went and got me a massage today.
Love a good massage.
Oh, well, we know the end of the story, and it's
this isn't going to be good.
Well, no, it's slightly worse. If you're Marty on the table,
oops, you wasn't massaging your intestines.
Well, no, this is, boy, that was terrible. My belly. You're not talking.
I bet Justin and Deshaun wishes this was the story.
No, boys, I mean, this was. So right as I walk in the door, and luckily I'm 5 minutes early, but I walk in the door. And I know it's the urge. So my wife cooked some fish a couple of days ago.
All right, Lo, you're going to wear this one. Happy anniversary.
it was fish a couple of days ago, and my stool just hadn't been as solid as of late.
Yeah.
And I had that feeling, and I knew that I had that feeling. So I walk in 5 minutes early, and that hits me to where I'm like, nah, I ain't going to make it. I'm not going to make it through the massage. Like, this has got to be a game time decision. So I am in the parlor, the spa, if you'll call it. And now I got to decide, do I press my luck and just get the massage?
No whammy, no whammy, no whammy, no whammy.
Oh, I love that game show.
Or do you go to the spa bathroom and let that thing rip? And Tyler, you sensed what I can do to this old four-holer over here.
It ain't pretty, folks.
That's much worse than
a spa. Two things: a spa toilet is a one-holer, and there is a gap. I think my dog could sneak underneath the door. Hmm. I am in a bad predicament, boys.
That's a tough one. No. And let me just emphasize, people: Clint's number twos, no lie, will singe your nose hair.
I mean,
it is foul.
I cleanse my
colon.
Well, I don't know. All of it when I use it, when I go. That's just how I do it. I mean, I supplement to do so.
That's a hell of a predicament, man.
Somebody just texted in Matthew Golden from Texas.
same problem I had, huh? Hey,
Paul,
man.
Paul Pierce back in the day needed a damn wheelchair.
Boss. I didn't have no choice. I had to, luckily.
There was no choice.
Well, I had to go handle business.
No, you had to. No, you. There was the worst thing. The worst would have been
lay on that table.
Lay on that table, and you can't.
You stopped the massage.
No, he never.
No,
started.
I didn't get there yet. I showed up 5 minutes early, and that was my saving grace. For once, I was 5 minutes early, and I was like, "All right, I got the time."
Because I'm at you. You're in the massage. You're going to lose yourself a little bit, and now you're going. Now you're in the space.
Trying to doze off.
Am I? You going to have a problem like I had in that press box? Do you get a little cavalier with a fart? And you think it's the worst is the stench of the fart, and maybe something else slides out. So no, you got to take care of it.
Look, that cavalier fart left when I ate that fish the other night. It's been a 2-night whammy for me. But
so you're not even giving it a shot.
No. Here, I ain't kidding you, man. I ain't never seen a gap under a bathroom door that big in my life. I'm sitting there on that toilet, and I'm looking down at that gap, and I'm thinking, please, man.
Do you think you brought it?
You know, the saving grace, Tyler, you'll like this. I look up on the shelf above the paper towels. Guess what's up there?
Spray.
Febreze.
Ooh, Febreze. And you're flushing it in after every, I bet every little one you paint style.
I'm courtesy flushing away, but it was just in reach. I had to stand up now. I had to stand up, grab the Febreze.
Clint's on his tippy toes.
Hey, I'm hitting that gap under that door with that Febreze.
That's smart.
Bing, 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 bing.
People don't realize how important the location of your spray with the air fresheners is. That's clutch, man.
Well, I would not have put massage on your way into, I mean, I would have put, you know, date or something like that with a girl, you know, or something. You're like, uh-oh, I'm in a bad spot. Or maybe you're so far away from a bathroom, like, you know, you're not going to make it there kind of deal.
Now, Dad,
like, I would have gone on a long list before I'd have thought the massage, but that one's on the list now.
Now, judging by what happened, do you think you would have been all right if you laid on that table?
No, no chance. Absolutely not. I've had to go again since.
You're an old quarterback. You had to call an audible. Well done.
Well, because I would hate to chew into my
there was no decision.
Well, I would hate to chew into my massage hour while I was sitting on that toilet. That would have really bothered me. That's wasting money. So, yeah. I mean, yeah. I'm glad I showed up a little early.
The way you're talking, I may have had to reschedule.
Oh, no.
Again, people,
nice,
one amp
clean
size.
Bathrooms.
Well, I bet it would.
This guy's smell, you've never encountered anything like it.
I mean, come on, bro. It's you're a little carried away here.
He is aggressive with it. I mean, I roomed with you. I mean, it wasn't.
I didn't use, I purposely, Tyler, you believe this? 24 hours I was in a room with him.
I left
and went to the store and did it. I don't even do that. I don't even give my wife that courtesy.
You shouldn't have done that.
What?
You should have just doo-dooed in the bathroom.
Well, man, I went to the grocery store and I couldn't hold it any longer, like I went ahead and went in the back and used
now
it.
Now I'm feeling like, what are you trying to do?
It was too close quarters. That's when I decided that I was going to share my frustration with the rooming situation.
Well, yeah, but I mean, you should.
I damn near messed my britches because of the situation, the rooming situation.
You should have taken it.
That's a courtesy I have. You told me you don't like the people to even fart in the same room with you, so I don't.
I don't like farts in small rooms, but I don't have a problem with people taking dumps in bathrooms.
So you can't appreciate a good fart.
Ron ended up bailing. There was an extra room, so Ron went and got an extra room. He came back by the room about a day later, and he went in that bathroom. He said, "Boy, didn't take you long."
Oh, man. He had it in there. Scraping the nostrils.
It's heavy. It's heavy, Doc.
Scrape the ground. All right, coming up, we will get your stories because I'm seeing them up and down. And someone said they had a cleanup situation at a Crackle Barrel, so I want to hear what this is. And something silly. Like, we've heard a lot from the Combine. But this is the silliest thing that we have heard from the Combine. That's coming up next right here live on The Drive.
Simple night of ayahuasca followed by cocaine and a fist fight.
I just don't want to poo-poo.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Boy, some of y'all got some nasty-ass stories.
That's what it's all about, man. Real life.
I couldn't hold it. Had to drop the kids in the pool. That's nasty.
Literally in the pool?
Yeah, that's nasty.
Boy, that's a bad deal.
I hope they have floaties on.
You could have got your ass out. You better tight walk it.
I mean, there's...
You ended everybody's day.
I mean, in the pool, how could you... You couldn't get out of the pool?
Ended everybody's day.
Was it a public pool?
That's how I view it.
Kids in floaties didn't want a floater.
Well, I mean, yeah, if you're a kid, that's a different... Like, I prefer you not do it, but that makes a little more sense.
Yeah, man. Craziness. Clint made the right call. Clint made the only call.
It worked out well, man. I was able to relax, maybe even doze off a little bit.
Yeah. This person here said they had a cleanup at Cracker Barrel. The hell? I don't even.
Oh my God.
No, man.
Oh, my.
Like that.
Had a what?
They had to do a cleanup at Cracker Barrel.
Oh.
Find that again. And I want to know which ones.
Oh, no. Hell no.
I can stay away from that. That hash brown casserole and
biscuit. Them home-style pancakes get you, friend?
I'm telling you, that was waffles. Whatever that was.
Belgian.
That got smooth away from somebody. Yeah, actually, man, y'all can keep them stories to yourself right now. We don't need those.
Actually, they're great. Keep them coming, man. 713-572-4610.
No, let's not keep them
coming. And keep sending Ron Luke Bryan's ass.
I don't want to see his a-hole. Or his ass. This is a joke from yesterday. All right. It's that. Yeah, there it is. Hey, a lot's happening at the Combine, but this here. Jordan Schultz of Fox, who has been on this show before, then he has gotten big time, and we can't seem to get him on anymore. Ian Rappaport, somebody was hung up in my face in anger. I've got him on a show once, and I've never been able to get him. The one time I called during free agency, wanted to see, hey, man, this is Ron in Houston, man. Was hoping to do afternoons here in Houston. Was hoping you want to. Are you kidding me? And then he hung up in my face. So apparently.
Is that my boy Ron?
Ian Rappaport was at a Starbucks. And Jordan Schultz believes every Starbucks is his because of his. Father is the founder of Starbucks, so he just said, "Nah, man, you in my building. I'm gonna come on and do what I want to do." Apparently, they had, well, at least as you always say, you can tell there's one person on in these things that want to fight, and the other one don't. Well, apparently, Jordan Schultz has had a problem since Wednesday with Ian Rappaport.
Wow,
it's been reported that. Schultz Wednesday reported that Rams quarterback Matthew Stafford recently met with Raiders minority owner Tom Brady in Montana. Ian Rappaport of NFL Network downplayed the report as a chance unplanned meeting. Schultz dismissed the notion that it was a random encounter between Brady and Rappaport. Okay? Nah, baby, it didn't just quit there. Apparently, inside of Jordan Schultz's Starbucks, it went down a little bit like this. I guess the fellas were face to face, and Jordan Schultz walked up to Ian Rappaport and said, and approached Rappaport and said, "We need to talk." Ian, who hung up in my face, said, "We don't need to talk."
Oh my God.
Schultz then made accusations at Rappaport, where he told Rappaport regards to the accusations were unfounded. The two men were essentially face to face, and then Jordan Schultz said, "If you have anything to say to me, say it to my effing face," Schultz said, or specific words to that effect. "If this continues, we're going to have an effing problem," is what Schultz said to Ian Rappaport. Ian Rappaport then asked Schultz, "Can you step back? If this happens again, we're going to have an effing problem," Schultz repeated. And then he said, "Now I'll step back."
Holy mother of God.
Ian Rappaport declined to make a comment of the situation, but it was reported that that Rappaport was the one who called security shortly after, but it never escalated past that. Schultz did comment, and he did dispute the number of expletives that were said, but he said it really wasn't anything too much. Ian Rappaport and I had a verbal confrontation. It lasted a little over a minute. Multiple agents and reports were nearby, and Rappaport was the one who called security.
Holy smokes!
I don't like that last part right there out of Ian.
Well, apparently there's a pretty good size difference.
Yes.
And so apparently Jordan towers over Ian, and it was it's.
Oh, Ian is kind of a little fella.
Oh,
isn't
he is.
Well, it's made out in some of them where I mean, there's clearly Ian was intimidated and wanted no piece of it and called security kind of deal. This is interesting. Newsbreakers.
I just want to say I'm going for Jordan. I'm on Jordan's side in this.
Yeah.
Just because Ian hung up on me.
Yeah, isn't that who we saw right when we walked in the
we saw him.
When we walked in the
media
day?
I wanted to confront him then. Should have patted him on the head.
Yeah, I ain't that tall. He is a little bitty fella now.
I'm not that tall.
I don't know. I don't know why I think it's so funny.
Oh, it's hilarious. Could you imagine him being there?
Yeah, I mean, but it's like it's
nobody
like,
pulled a camera. Nobody pulled a phone out.
It's newsbreakers. Like newsbreakers fighting over not even the like. I actually greatly appreciate it from Jordan Schultz's perspective because whether what he said is true or false or accurate or not,
he said we don't have an effing problem.
Like they're not in a world where when you're talking about Adam Schefter and Ian Rappaport, I don't think they're in a world where they should discredit the other guy, right? And that's ultimately what Ian Rappaport did, right?
Yes.
The way I understand
kinda
it,
kind of downplayed, but we see it often. I don't even know. I have to go and look back if he specifically downplayed Jordan. Now, he may have said, you know, my sources are telling me it was a chance meeting. But the way Jordan came rocking and rolling in there, we're going to have a problem.
One of the trains of thought also is that because Brady's a Fox employee as well.
Yeah.
So one of the train of thoughts is that Ian Rappaport commented on the Fox on Fox crime ultimately. And that's not only is he an employee, but he's a $37 million a year employee. So he's their top dog. So, yeah, I don't know. How would you just be sitting there in a Starbucks somewhere, draft, combine, Super Bowl, and you look over and two newsbreakers are MFing each other? I mean, it's laughable.
It's nuts. I can't.
One thing that made it better if it had been Adam Schefter.
If Adam was in there, now I don't think
they favor each other.
I was gonna say I don't think he would have called security on Adam. I think Ian.
They're more face to face, eye to eye.
Yeah. They're more closer to that. Damn, man, Jordan said, my man said, no, I'm stepping back whenever I want to step back. You in my daddy's spot. You in my spot. I bet he picked up his.
It got me to thinking, boys. And John Clayton's no longer with us, is he?
No, we lost John.
Mm-mm. But it would be the equivalent. What if you were in a Starbucks somewhere and you look over and John Clayton and Mel Kiper are MFing each other and having problems with each other?
Well, I'm going to take Mel, but yeah.
Mel a big guy? He looks like a big headed guy. He's a big headed guy, and he's
a bigger guy. He's a lot bigger than John Clayton.
Yeah, I was just trying to think of some different looking cats that are in the media game that would be an interesting boxing match.
Yeah, we're talking about newsbreakers or just idiots.
Just in general, like exhibition boxing matches potential.
Like I think Mike Tirico wants a piece of Al Michaels, and I I know he's a little older.
You've wanted that, right? Because he's kept his job or something.
Yeah, boy, what a snake. I think Brett. Musburger would like a piece of Al Michaels too.
now you're getting a bunch of old heads.
I think Jim Nance wants a little Joe Buck. Look here, you son of a gun, let's fight it out for the calls, man. Nah, man, that is crazy. That is crazy that it went down like that. He just going. I mean, Jordan was clearly clearly Jordan was ready. Jordan was ready and prepared to lose his job, I believe. Because when you go in and you're talking like that, prepared to fight.
I mean, to be transparent, you kind of made this point earlier. Like, Jordan's dad owns Starbucks.
So he doesn't give a damn.
So Jordan's job security really is a non-factor here. Like, he doesn't.
You come in there and you get, I mean, I think we need to talk. No, damn it, we do need to talk.
Yeah, this is a guy that doesn't need his job, and he's bigger than you. It's like, yeah.
You're right.
I think I'll call security, bub.
Hey, I'm surprised Jordan didn't try to kick his ass out of get out of here. Get out of my spot. This is my spot. Get out of here. Get out of my damn Starbucks. Coming up, let's head to West Palm and talk to Seth Payne and get the latest from what they saw today as the Astros took on the Mets. That's next.
Tyler Milner just texted me and said, "What's up, cracker?"
Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyer Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome back in to The Drive. As you know, 5 o'clock is coming up. And remember, in the next hour, you will have an opportunity to win a four-pack of tickets to go see Zach Top coming up in the 5 o'clock hour. Four-pack of tickets, that's coming up next hour, so stay tuned and be ready for that. But let's head out to West Palm Beach to talk to our guy Seth Payne, who is out there. And I'm telling you what, if ain't nobody enjoyed themselves at spring training, it is you, Seth. Just listening to you in the mornings and on with us, it feels like to me that you're having a much better time than you even anticipated.
That's exactly right. I told Sean Sean and I discussed it. This wasn't me telling Sean what to do, but we discussed it when we first got here. You know, last time we were here, we tried to pretend like we were baseball reporters or something. We sat up in the press box and we had our notepads out, and I said, that's stupid. We need to go experience spring training. So this time we committed to just really taking it in as like a fan as much as possible, and it's been a blast. I cannot recommend enough, if you're an Astros fan, to come to spring training for a few days. One, and we ran into a bunch of our listeners that were doing just that, that came out for anywhere from 3 to 5 days, just to, some of them with their friends, some with their families, and everybody just has a great time. The weather has been perfect this time around, and it's been that kind of a camp though too for the Astros, or spring training, where there's a lot of young guys and new additions that you're genuinely excited to see. So it's been a blast.
What about the strip y'all were on last night, man? Yesterday, I don't know if it was yesterday or the day before, but it seemed like y'all found the spot, huh?
Yeah, Greece. The name of the place is Greece. And it's not, I was nervous because I thought it was going to be like some Grease the Musical themed place or something.
Fair.
And it wasn't that at all. It was an ode to unhealthy food in America. It was a big ass, my burger might have weighed 17 pounds. I don't know. And tater tots that had like a full tub of margarine in them. It was really good. And we're on this. So West Palm Beach is weird because you're driving through it and it looks like we're driving through it at 6 p.m. at night, and there's all these brand new buildings. They're tall buildings. I don't know if they're officially skyscrapers or not. All over the place, but the streets are empty. And I'm looking up Wikipedia. The population of Palm Beach is 9,000 people. West Palm Beach with 58 billionaires. And there's nobody in the streets until you get to this one street where Greece was, and it's packed, and it looks like something you see from a movie. So I honestly feel like the whole place is a scam. I don't know what it is. It's all a big front to try to sell condos or something.
A Ponzi scheme, you said.
Yeah, but it's been awesome. It's really been a great time this year.
No, it sounds like it has. Seth Payne is with us from West Palm. Now, before we get to tomorrow, because I know that's got to be one of the biggest days in spring training for the Astros in a long time with what's going to happen in left field. But up to this point, we saw the debut from Peña and Yordan today. But up to this point, what has stuck out to you in terms of these guys getting on the field? Because we're starting to see more of the guys that are going to play a big impact this year.
I think Cam Smith for sure. And
he got another hit today, didn't he?
Yeah, he got another hit today. So he's batting like 600 or so. No big deal, right? Listen, I'm a spring training veteran now. I don't overreact, except that he's probably going to be an all-star this year. And the biggest thing about Cam Smith is like it's just he looks like a football player. He looks like he could be playing wide receiver. And, you know, and he's really tall for a third baseman. He's 6'3", so that looks a little different, especially when he's replacing who we've seen, who's a relative munchkin out there, and Alex Bregman at third base. But he has all those tools, and you can see it, and it's really apparent. But everybody that you talk to around the Astros really brings up his personality, and he seems to be really mature but really energetic. I was a little bit nervous when I learned that his favorite player is Yasiel Puig, but it seems like he's taking the energy of Yasiel Puig, but it doesn't sound like he's crazy like a bat like Yasiel Puig. So I this might be one of those guys that I spend more time trying to watch minor league games this year than I typically do, just because I want to see Cam Smith.
What do you get the feel, though, Seth? I know you don't want to put the cart before the horse. It's spring training, and it's only a couple of games, but do you get the feel that watching him play, being around, and then as well as hearing from the organization that this is a fast-track situation and there's some real legs to him potentially seeing the field in the ice box this year at some point?
I mean, they're not – Espada and Dana Brown especially are not – hiding their excitement over Cam Smith at all, but I think they're also baseball guys that know you can't force stuff like this. They got to let it play out, and they're certainly, you know, they're going to want to get all the service time they can out of him, so I don't think they're going to be in a huge hurry early in the season to do anything, but you can, they're not trying to hide how positive they feel about him. And I think there's a really good interview that we'll play at 9:20 tomorrow that Adam Spillane did with Dana Brown today. And I've listened to the whole interview, and it's great. But just one of the things that he talks about in the interview is you got to, you know, be sure his bat comes around. And as long as his bat comes around, then maybe they'll think about playing him in the outfield, perhaps. They're not married to just having him play third base this year, but you gotta let the player develop and not push it too hard. But they're not hiding the possibility that it could happen. Now they haven't. I don't think any of them talked about this year specifically. But people are just really, really high on him.
All right, Seth. A big thing tomorrow, and hopefully we will get to hear from you guys about it is. The Jose Altuve start in left field, and he is going to make his debut there. Joe Espada, the captain, said 4 to 5 innings he could play at third base, and I'm just wondering from you, what's your feeling? Are you feeling nervous? Are you excited? Like, what is your feeling of being able to see him in left field for the first
time? I have gone from extreme skepticism to now I am pulling for Altuve. For a couple of reasons. One, just because Altuve seems to have really embraced it, and it doesn't seem at all like it's something that he's being forced into, but it's also something that should be good for his career. You know, his defense has been declining at second base. It's more physically taxing to play at second base. We've seen here that Biggio did, you know, extended his career moving on to the outfield, and that's playing center field, a much more grueling position. And Altuve seems to be all about it. I'm almost want to see him make some mistakes so we can get those out of his system and get a feel for it. But I don't think the fielding side of it is going to be an issue. I mean, he's not going to be as smooth as somebody that's been playing out there his whole career. I think it's just all the other stuff. And Adam Spillane has talked about this with us in the morning. All of the other things that go along with it, you know, just managing the game situation, keeping track of the base runners, making the actual throws in the relays, are just completely different types of throws than you have to make in the infield. So I think a lot of the stuff that might be second nature for a lot of stuff, or for a lot of guys, he's obviously going to have to be thinking about. So I'm not, I don't want him to have something that goes viral. I don't want the baseball to hit him in the forehead or something. That's all. Or some mental error where he thinks there's two outs when there's not. Something like that.
Seth, what about, I could go on about Altuve all day. This fascinates the hell out of me, man. And I've gone from concerned to all of a sudden of like, hey, I just want to see it now. But what about the automated strike zone that I think is top of mind for a lot of fans right now, of really just, it's not if, it's when, right? But right. You saw that in person.
In the first Mets at-bat today, they had two challenges. So for those of you who don't know, they're going to implement it in 2026, but they're rolling it out and experimenting with the version that they've been using in the minor leagues this year during spring training. And this is the coolest thing about it. It is seamless. I didn't have any expectations whether I was going to love it or hate it, but in the first at bat for the Mets, so in the bottom of the first inning, there was a called strike, the batter challenged, and it got overturned. This is how it goes. The batter or the catcher or the pitcher has to challenge within just a couple of seconds of the ball crossing the plate. You can't get any input from the dugout or anything, so the batter has to make the decision or the catcher has to make the decision. It seems like most teams really don't want the pitchers messing with it because they don't have as good an eye for it as they think they do. So the challenge is made. Immediately a graphic of the strike zone goes up on the scoreboard, and then within a few seconds, just like on the TV broadcast, they show where the ball was and whether the ruling is upheld or overturned. And that's it. So one of the calls went the Astros' way. The two challenges in the first inning. One of the calls went the Mets' way. And that was it. Like, the flow of the game was not interrupted at all. And And it's cool because you guys know, you know, when you're watching baseball in person, Major League Baseball does a horrible job with the replays. They just, it's like they don't want to show anything up on the scoreboard to entertain you between at-bats or anything. And it was a really cool thing that you could watch on the scoreboard and get instant gratification. So it's not like in football where it's going to take 90 seconds or something like that. It feels a lot more like in tennis or volleyball where they use the tracking system and boom, it's there and then you move on. It was really cool.
All right, man. Hey, last night, enjoy yourself. Have you another Long Island iced tea? Have yourself another one. Have yourself a good time tonight. You and Sean need to really let your hair down tonight.
We will. We're gonna go and flirt Sean, with all the old ladies in West Palm Beach. I got Sean and I got a little attention from an older lady on the way in this morning.
Really? Nice. How does that go? Come on. Hey, don't give me the 411 on what color were the pants.
He said on the way this morning, on the way in this morning.
This is the oldest I've ever felt in my life. It started off with her husband complimenting my Hokas, and it's like
so she wanted
Sean
to
said
party.
It was like a kid. Sean has some nice Air Jordans every now and then, and when a teenager compliments him on his Jordans, he feels pretty special. I got a compliment from an 85-year-old dude who's
wearing the same shoes as you.
Yeah.
He had
yeah.
the same shoes on. Yeah,
except his were fresher.
By the way, real quick, scoring at home, that is Sean Pendergast who joins us. So Payne and Pendergast right now with us right here on the drive. But go ahead. After she said, let me see it, what happened?
Well, nothing. We just had a pleasant conversation.
Well, you were talking to the old man while I was over there. You were kind of running interference for me.
She had pineapple earrings, Sean.
Yeah, I know.
She had a pick and let you bring it home, huh?
Yeah.
Google pineapple, and like the ladies wearing pineapple earrings.
Oh, we know. We've talked about pineapples on this show.
Yeah, they were coming in hot and heavy, but we had to part ways.
And
they were 85 years old.
Yeah. They caught a foul ball.
Yeah, they did.
They caught a foul ball. Yeah. We saw them. We're looking down there on one of the foul balls. We're like, is that the couple that we were talking to on the way? Yeah. It sure was.
Then I beat him up and took his shoes and his baseball.
And I can't get up.
Yeah. That's about how old she was.
Yeah.
She was falling and can't get up. She's a big baseball fan.
I'm sure Brandy and Amy are not worried one bit, huh?
No, they're not. Trust me.
She's like, have at it, slugger.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, guys. We are really looking forward to hearing about Altuve tomorrow and be listening to that interview. One more time to the people. What time is that with Dana Brown?
9:20, Adam Spolane's interview with Dana Brown.
All right, 9:20 tomorrow on Payne and Pendergast. Dana Brown sits down with our own Adam Spolane. You'll hear that tomorrow. All right, fellas, enjoy yourselves.
All right, see you guys.
All right, that's Payne and Pendergast right there. Just F. Payne, but Bashan slid his way in. All right, a little 5 o'clock fire coming up. Your chance to win four tickets to see Zach Top at the Houston Rodeo. That's coming up in the next hour. Also, a move that I was hoping, if you're a Texans fan, hoping that they would be potentially in on, it looks like that dream might be dashed. We'll explain that coming up next.